yesterday, oh no, Friday. Friday was our day off, my day off, and there I was looking forward to a nice long walk through the Berkshire countryside. But Kate reminded me that we had bought a bed from that big new blue home and furniture store and that we had to assemble it. I said to her, does it look like IKEA? But that's what we did. We assembled a bed. And it comes with, they always come with instructions, don't they? So here we go. This was the first page of the instructions. And I was particularly struck by this one, second one down there. I don't know if you can work out which one is which, but I know if I had tried that, to do that on my own, it would have, well, it would have got ugly. And so I was really pleased that as a team, Kate and I were able to do it together. And I remembered a key lesson that I have had to learn over and over again in our years of marriage together, in our marriage team together, that generally it is wise to listen to Kate and do as she suggests. So, we are part of a team. It's great that we are commissioning Charlie here today. But it's great for us and important for us to remember that we are part of a large team. And we have to be very clear, Kennet Valley has not employed Charlie to do the youth and children's work here. That's never our vision. And that's not what it's about. He is here to help us to do that together. Parents, we have to be very, very clear. We are not looking to Charlie to take over spiritual responsibility for our children. That is our responsibility. He will help and encourage us in that, I'm sure. But we have to be very clear about that. So we're a team here. I was going to ask all of those who are involved in the youth and children's ministry to here at Kennet Valley to stand up. But then I thought, you know what? Even if we're not involved hands-on in that, we should all be involved hands together in that, shouldn't we? Praying together. And I hope we are. So, Charlie, I want you to know that the Lord has called you to head up this team. But you're not on your own. And you have the help and the support of all of us and our prayers. And we are doing this together. And now I think John is going to come to read. Is that right? Yes.
We're going to have a reading from Romans 12. So if you do have a Bible, feel free to turn to it. But it's Romans 12. And it's verses 1 to 8. And I'm going to read that for us. Oh, there we go. It's on the screen. Even better. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Do you please have a seat? This is the kind of the formal bit, I suppose, and it's appropriate that we do this in terms of expressing Charlie's commitment to us and his role here and commissioning him in that. It might sound a little bit too formal, but I think we'll cope with that in the circumstances. Kennet Valley, there will be a chance for you to also contribute. When I ask you to, it'd be great if you could stand up and say, okay, your line is this. Your line is, gladly, we will. Okay? okay. And hopefully you'll be able to say that. It's about supporting and accepting Charlie in his role. Okay, so I'll ask you to stand for that in a moment. Charlie, can I just, if you stand in front of there, is that all right then? People can hear your voice. And after we've done this, we're going to pray for Charlie. The elders are going to pray. Some of the elders are going to pray for him. And then some folk from the journey, which is, for those of you who don't know, the fellowship from which Charlie comes to us. He's been involved there for many years. And we are just thrilled that the journey has released you to come to us. And we appreciate that's not an easy thing for them to do. And so we want to just say thank you. We think that's wonderful that you're prepared to do that. And Tim and Pip, I think, from the journey are going to come and pray. And then Mark is going to pray for the journey. After that, we'll pray for your fellowship. So, Charlie, just I'll put the script there so you know what we're agreeing to. Charlie, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord? Do you publicly assert your true and hearty acceptance of our statement of faith?
I do.
And do you truly believe that God has called you into this ministry, and in particular into this post of youth and children's worker at Kennet Valley?
I do.
And will you carry out the ministry to which you have been called with faithfulness, enthusiasm and dedication, introducing young people to Jesus Christ and discipling them, working within the church and in the community? Will you endeavour in your own life by prayer and behaviour, in your own walk with the Lord, to be an example to the young people and members of the youth and children's team?
Relying on God's help, I will.
So, Kennet Valley, can I ask you all to stand, please? And actually, anyone who wants to stand to express their support for Charlie, you're welcome to stand. Of course. Will you accept Charlie to lead and serve alongside you in his calling as youth and children's worker in the church, honouring and supporting his work, encouraging him and praying for him? Gladly we will. You can sit down now and help us.
Father God, I want to thank you for Charlie. I want to thank you first, Father, for the faith that we see expressed in him, his faith and trust in you. We thank you for your work in his life, bringing him to this place where he is trusting in you and is seeking to serve you and follow you. So we thank you for your goodness in his life. And Father, we pray for the future. We pray that you will guide him. We pray that you will fill him with the knowledge of your great love and mercy. And that as he grows, he will grow into a man who is dependent on you, seeking to show others the great love and mercy that you have for him. We pray, Father, that you will bless him, and that through him you will bless many people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you that Charlie is here. We praise you and bless you, that he, like us, is fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you that you know him through and through. And we thank you that you love him as you love us, who are also fearfully and wonderfully made, and whom you know through and through. I pray that you would grant Charlie that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that he might know you better, know more of the hope to which you have called him, more of that inheritance with the saints, and more of your power at work in him, like that which raised Jesus from the dead.
Yes.
And I pray that he might endeavour to keep in step with your spirit as he walks this journey with you and with us. Amen.
Amen. Just a few verses on from the passage that John read to us from Romans 12. I read these words: never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. And that's an exhortation that is not just directed at Charlie, but at each and every one of us. Mm. But Father, we pray for Charlie. We know that he's going to bring to this role of youth and children's worker, he's going to bring energy and enthusiasm and innovative ideas. But Lord, we know that it is so easy, as the pressures of daily living come in upon us, to lose some of that energy and enthusiasm. And so I want to pray this afternoon that you will renew Charlie's energy and enthusiasm each and every day. And I pray that his ministry here will be a great blessing to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name.
Yes,
Lord. Amen.
Amen. So I'll ask Tim and Pippa to come and pray.
Father, thank you for Charlie. Thank you for his creativity and his fun and his absolute passion that he's got for you, Lord. And I pray that these would only grow at his time at Kennet Valley. I want to pray for wisdom for Charlie in the situations where he may not know what to do, and for his relationships with both you and all the people in Kennet Valley Church. I pray that they would deepen and strengthen in his time here. I thank you for the opportunity that Charlie's got to be a role model and a good influence on all the kids that he's going to be working with. And I pray you'd just bless him in that. And above all, Lord, that he can be a light to people living in darkness, and that he will just know that you're working in him and through him while he's here. In your name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, and early on, Charlie, when I was thinking about you, I was sort of taken to Chronicles, so 1 Chronicles, which I think we read from earlier, but a different bit where it says, Nathan said to David, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. And Lord, I know that Charlie's heart is for young people. I know Charlie's heart is for you. So Lord, I want to pray a real blessing on Charlie from the journey, and we're so pleased that he's here, and that this is the work that he wants to do. Lord, we pray that you'll just bless him in his work and bless the young people, the children, the toddlers, the babies, all the people connected with this church. And we just pray a blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to pray quickly for our friends from the journey who are here today and those that aren't here too. Heavenly Father, as we prayed for Charlie today, so also we pray for the fellowship of believers, the brothers and sisters we have in Christ at the journey. We thank you for them. We thank you for the way they have nurtured and taught Charlie over the years. And I pray that in your grace and provision, you would fill the space that Charlie has left there. And as they seek to serve you, that they may build up other young men and women of faith also, so that they may grow into faithful men and women of God in their own areas of service and ministry. I pray for Dave and the others, that they may have wisdom and perseverance as they seek to equip and build up the fellowship there, that they may be strong and steadfast in good doctrine and faithful to your word. And I pray that in their lives, individually and as a fellowship together, they will continue to faithfully seek and serve you, witnessing to Jesus, witnessing to the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ, to his death and resurrection. And pray that through them, many others will come to know Jesus and be saved and know eternal life through him. Lord, we pray most of all that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have to say, we have had one other person in this post before Charlie, Andy Turnbull, who was already in the fellowship here when we identified him and called him into that role. And that was a great thrill to see him grow and develop, and we were sorry to see him go. And when we started looking for a replacement for Andy, it seemed that there was nobody within our fellowship that seemed in a position to do that, and we started advertising elsewhere. As I look back, I just can't say what a thrill it is that the Lord led us to a a man, not only a local man, but a man known and loved by many already within the fellowship, someone with whom one way or another all sorts of links have been weaved over the years. And it feels like that's definitely from the Lord, and it's something we're very excited about, that it feels like part of a real sense of partnership with other folk, other believers in the town, that Charlie is able to come to us for this next part of his journey. And I just want to I thank the Lord for you guys at the journey and all that you've invested in him and your willingness to send him over to us. Bless you for that. We're going to sing again before Dave comes to speak. Dave Raitt, who is someone who has had a lot of input and influence in Charlie's life over the years. Dave is at the journey, and he is going to come and speak to us. But before he does that, we are going to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Charlie, you're in for a treat. I've never been to a commissioning service which has had such an amazing quiz or heard sets of prayers from the children which were so beautifully thoughtful, and they really blew me away. They were fantastic. I don't think I need to say very much because they were amazing. Have you ever had someone in your life who has had an amazing impact, who has inspired you and caused you to go, yes? I've been really privileged because I've had a few people in my life like that. And I want to tell you about one of them. Her name was Mrs. Watt. Mrs. Watt was my RE teacher at secondary school. She was about that height. When I was this height, she was quite tall, but by the time I left, I could just about look down on her. She was old when I started school, and she was really old by the time I finished school. She wasn't cool, you know, she wasn't trendy, but she was amazing. She not only taught RE, but she also ran the Christian group at school. And I saw in this lady someone who was incredibly passionate about God's word, about the Bible. And when she started talking about God's word, when she started telling you, the hairs on the back of your neck would stand up, because this is a lady who loved Jesus, and she loved God's word. And it was infectious, the way she talked, the way she was. But it wasn't just what she said that was amazing. It was how she dealt with people. Now, I don't know if it's typical of RE teachers, but she had a hard time. Pupils in our school gave her a really hard time. And she dealt with them with incredible grace, with enormous faithfulness. She showed me, I learned more from her about faithfulness and grace and leadership than I think anyone else. She absolutely inspired me. And in that sense, I felt like I was being discipled by her. This was a lady who was able to teach and able to do. And what you see as you look through the New Testament, you see Jesus with his disciples, with his special friends. And he said, spend time with me, watch this. The way he lived, the way he was, the way he taught, the way he did miracles, they sucked it. They grew and learned and developed. And you can see with Paul, as Paul planted churches, he repeats regularly, follow me. Look at my example. If you see me doing it, you do it. Regularly. I want to read to you a little bit from Paul's letter to Corinthians, the first letter he wrote. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the beginning bit of chapter 4, he's essentially saying to these guys, hey, you guys, your attitude towards the apostles, to the people who are teaching and preaching, you need to sort it out. It's not brilliant. You need to have a think about that. And then in verse 14, he says this, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I'm sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, who's faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of the way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Paul clearly is saying to them, look, there's lots of people who've got an interest in your faith, but I'm your father. I'm the one who planted this church. I'm the one who brought the gospel to you. So think of me as a father in the faith. Therefore, imitate me. Now, that's a really bold thing to say. Imitate me. Take a close look at my life and copy it. Now, that's a really hard thing to say. It's not just saying, hey, look, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to do what I tell you to do. It's saying more than that. It's saying, look at how I live and live the same way. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's incredible. You've said it already today with Charlie. You're not asking Charlie to go and do something for you. You're not saying, hey, everyone, look at Charlie and copy. No. This is a responsibility that we all have. We all have the opportunity to imitate Christ. Because as we imitate Christ, others look at us. My kids, they range in ages, but they all look to someone a little bit older to copy. Whether that's the clothes they wear, whether it's the type of dancing that they do. We're doing some of this dancing in the week, aren't we? Whatever it is, they seem to... That was Bollywood, by the way, if you hadn't... Yeah, that was Bollywood dancing. They copy, and that's the way we learn. My oldest daughter, we used to live next to a school, and at about 8:30, she would be held up as a baby, and you say, children, children, children. That lasted for about 20 minutes. About 3 o'clock, we'd say, children, children, children. Her first word that she said was, children. Strange that, but that's what she got. The way we learn is by imitating, is by copying, is by looking and seeing, observing and doing. And we have an incredible privilege in the body of Christ. If you look around, there's ages from, I don't know who's the oldest, wouldn't want to be rude, but there's a whole range of ages in this church, in this fellowship. That's wonderful, because we are able to be an inspiration to those coming up. As we look to Jesus and copy Jesus, actually, we can have an impact on children and young people, inspiring them to faith. We want to copy. This is my Lego car. Actually, it's not my Lego car. I borrowed it on pain that I have to return it from my son. The boss of Lego in China got into trouble last week because he couldn't tell the difference between a real Lego and an imitation Lego product. What we want to do is we want to be those people who imitate. We want to imitate Jesus, to be like Jesus, so that as people look at us, they see something of Jesus being lived out amongst us. Rarely do we have an idea of the impact that we make on the lives around us. When I was at school, I had a stutter. I really was frightened about speaking in front of people. And I couldn't get the words out like that. It was Mrs. Watt. Mrs. Watt had a huge influence on me in terms of encouragement and developing that confidence around that. No matter who you are or how old you are, you have the ability, with God's help, to shape the lives of children and young people. And as you've invited Charlie to be part of that, that's incredibly exciting and encouraging. And you can see Paul regularly saying, later on in 1 Corinthians, he says, follow me as I follow Christ's example. Or later into Philippians, in Philippians he says, whatever you've learned from me, or received from me, or heard from me, or seen in me, put it into practice. This is a shared responsibility for us as the body of Christ, to teach and disciple one another, so we can grow in faith and in love for Jesus. But often we do it by observing and copying, by seeing how God is growing in other people's lives. We spent a little bit of time visiting different churches and missions in other countries. And we came across a YWAM base. And I was having a chat to the director and said, so how did you get here? He had around 20, 25 staff, 100 students all learning and mission adventures having all over the place. And he said, well, I was the caretaker. really, what do you mean? He said, well, my job was to sweep up after the sessions had happened, to cut the grass, to make sure everything was sort of tickety-boo. And over the years, I spent time with people. I started observing and copying and imitating. And actually, after 8 years, he became the director. I don't think when they appointed him as the caretaker, they were planning on him to be the director. And yet, the influence we can have in the lives of children and young people, we don't know what you guys are going to end up being. My prayer is that you will go way beyond where we've been, seeing many people coming to faith. And sometimes we think of ourselves and we go, I can't make a difference. I don't have a job which gives me those opportunities. But actually, you have relationships. You are observed. You are seen day by day around this building in your community. There was a young girl who was walking along a beach, and as she was walking along, she stooped down and picked up starfish and threw them back in the sea. And she carried on throwing these starfish. They'd been washed up by a big storm. And coming along the other way was a fisherman. And he came and said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm throwing these starfish back in. And he said, this is crazy. There are thousands of starfish on this beach. And this beach goes for 5 miles, and there's another beach around the corner. It's futile. What are you doing? And she threw another starfish in and said, it made a difference to that one. And it made a difference to that one. We have the opportunity, as the body of Christ, as individuals who have a relationship with Jesus, to imitate Christ in such a way as others get to see. As others have an opportunity to see what it means to love and serve the Lord. Charlie, you are going to be in a situation, whether you like it or not, that young people are going to look at you. Whether in schools or in this building, they're going to look at you. And that's an incredible privilege to be able to show people what it means to love and to serve the Lord Jesus. And that's exciting. I have the opportunity. I work with young offenders. And that's good. I like that. Just over 10 years ago, my car was nicked. That's not so good. And it was taken, and about 5 days later, the police recovered it. And there were a few things stolen from my car. When they dusted it, actually, they found lots of fingerprints with young offenders. I think there were 16 young offenders' fingerprints in my car. And actually, I'd driven them around, so it probably wasn't any of them. Anyway. But one of the things that went from my car was my Bible. And I thought, I hope something nice happens to my Bible. 2 years later, I had a phone call from somebody at this church saying, a Bible's been deposited in our church. It's got your name in it. Do you want it back? I got the Bible back. And it was the same Bible that was nicked from my car 2 years earlier. I'd love to know what happened to that Bible in those 2 years. Because my car was to return within 4 days. So somebody had that Bible for 2 years and then deposited it. Most young people don't read the Bible. Most young people, their only opportunity to see the Bible is actually lived out in people like you and me. It's to see what it means to follow Jesus lived out in Christians. My prayer for us, for each of us, is that we'll live in such a way as the children, young people, adults, our communities will see something in us of Jesus. They'll be able to see in us those people who imitate Christ, who yearn to follow Jesus in such a way as we make a difference to those around us, to the communities that we live in, to the children and young people in our midst. I'm really pleased that you have appointed Charlie. Not to get rid of him from the journey, because we'll miss him, but my hope and prayer is that he will be able to imitate Christ and lead others to Jesus. That your children and young people will grow in a love and passion for Jesus. Charlie, bless you for all you're going to do. And each of you, let's imitate Christ. And let's make an impact to those children and young people in our midst. God bless you.